Hey everybody, this is Sam with Daily Sports Betting Overtime, and this is your July 11th betting episode for most sports. Some of you probably saw in your feed this morning that you already have a NASCAR Quaker State 400 bets episode, and I just decided that with me not having really did a NASCAR episode in a while, I knew I was going to be talking, so I decided to do that separately. Plus, I also know many of you do not follow NASCAR, and so I wanted to be able to make that separate. Now, let's talk about UFC 264. I kind of gave you guys a lean on Sean O'Malley and then a lean on Ty Tuivasa against Greg Hardy. Boy, the youngster, Tuivasa, he pretty much dominated. He actually, I thought, looked really well. We also won our bet with Irene Aldana. She bounced back and bounced back pretty well. She definitely is fast and was faster than Yaka last night. She put her away fairly easily. The fight that I guess shocked me, though, was the fight that I lost. And that was Steven Wonderboy Thompson going up against Gilbert Burns. I preached and preached and preached. He can't be taken down. Don't let him take you down. And what did Burns do? He took Thompson down. And you saw what happened once the match went on the floor. Not that Thompson doesn't have decent defense on the ground, but that's all it is. It's decent, and Burns can absolutely kill you on the ground. And did he get him down three times or two? I should have wrote that down. But I mean, he made him pay every single time. And then, of course, everyone wants to talk about Poirier and Conor McGregor. Dustin, again, you saw him walking through the crowd to get to the cage. He had his serious focus look on. He came prepared. He definitely came prepared. And I think that was a pretty big deal in this. We didn't get to see a lot of Conor. And due to that, I really couldn't make a judgment on whether or not he had changed his game plan or that he had better cardio. I was betting no, that he hadn't gotten any better cardio. But he didn't have to worry about it, because in the first round, he broke his ankle. There is a picture out there that a photographer took, and it shows Conor standing straight up, his leg is straight up, but his foot and ankle is completely flopped over and pressed against the mat. It doesn't look like it's right at the ankle. It looks like it's probably about 2 to 3 inches above the ankle. And from everything that I was listening to this morning, they said if it was up, like where you would get a higher ankle sprain, start hurting. If it's above the ankle and more right around the leg, then it would depend, did he break both bones? And then it would also depend on how hard he wanted to rehab. Now, of course, Connor and Dana White were already talking having match four. One doctor that they showed, I think it was on ESPN2. One doctor they showed said, if it is lower, below 3 inches, more closer to the ankle and less up into the leg, then 20-year-olds have hard times coming back from that because of the amount of rehab and the dedication that you have in order to build it back up, to make sure everything reattaches and gets built back up and can give you the support. And he said that there are 20-year-olds that only get it built back up to live their life. They never become the superstar athlete that they were. He said with Connor being way north of 20, I should have looked it up. I think, don't hold me to this, I think Connor's 41, 40, somewhere around there. And we already have seen a lot of the pictures that he puts up on social media of riding his bike and hanging out and drinking his proper 12. He may not want to put the work back in. He knows the paydays are good. But think about it. Connor's fairly smart. He realizes this is loss, I think, number 6. He's probably got 2 more fights. And if he loses both of those, he's 1-3 since 2018, I think is what they said. If he loses, if he comes back, the public will give him a comeback fight and then a big match fight. If he cannot win those, his career's over. He will not get any more big money paydays. And I think that will kill him. So this may be the way out for him of rehabbing but deciding to play with his kids and enjoy his life, invest in things, maybe become a coach, and he can run his mouth that way. I don't see Dana White giving him a job in the UFC unless it's overseas where he does not have to deal with him. But, you know, we're going to kind of have to wait and see what exactly comes of Conor McGregor. They said, obviously, they knew how it was positioned. It was broke. But with the swelling that would come last night and then early this morning, that they would not be able to run any kind of x-rays or anything like that on it. They will have to wait till later today. And it possibly, they said, could be Sunday or Monday before they can get a good test where they can see what all is torn around it, whether it be tendons or ligaments, and also how it is broken. Was it a clean break or did it kind of shatter and they've got a couple different pieces and maybe things are jagged, and is he going to need a plate and screws and all of that. So that's kind of your update on UFC 264. Let's go for an update on the golf situation, which is the John Deere Classic in Illinois. We have two players left that we betted on in the top five, and Daniel Berger made a run for it yesterday. He's in 29th. And then Cameron Davis lost some steam, and he is in 63rd. But in making the top 10, we've got some contenders. Sungjae Im is 29th. Doug Gim is tied for 22nd. Russell Henley is tied for 15th. And then our boy, Ryan Moore, is still tied for 3rd. So, hopefully we get some movement. Today is the last day. Today is the finals. And we'll actually find out what's going on. For those of you who haven't listened to the episode right before this, you're going to get 10 picks in NASCAR. One is going to be an outright winner, and then the other 9 are going to be for placing in the top 5. Let's kind of get started with the schedule. Let's start with Euro 2020. They have their finals today. A lot of people around the world are extremely interested in this. England is going wild. One of the bosses for a site I write for, they're over the moon. They truly believe England is on a streak and will win this. And they can't get enough of it. They're that excited. I didn't tell him this. If he listens to this podcast, I'm hoping he's too busy. Game starts at 3:00 our time, but I think it's 8, maybe 9, but I think it's 8 over there. It's Italy versus England. Guys, I've been talking Italy up for 2 weeks now. They've won 33 games in a row. I talked about their depth. I talked about their communication and how they don't have a big drop-off if they have to substitute, especially in goalie situations. I'm taking Italy plus 210. Now, both these teams were plus money. However, the longer you wait to game time to bet this, I think England is going down pretty quick. I checked it the first thing when scores and odds were hitting, and they were at plus 147, I believe, at most places. When I went to actually bet this, probably a good hour and a half ago, they had, like I said, quickly dropped, and I think they were at plus 118. So they may go into a minus number with every British person around betting on them. But I have to go against the grain. Like I said, I just believe Italy is the better team. They definitely have more depth, and I think they take advantage of it. It seems like most people that are betting England think this is going to be a 1-0 game. I have even seen 2 or 3 soccer analysts say they believe this will end up being a 0-0 tie. I can tell you what, they better not. I'm going to go over there and deflate their balls. But I'm taking the over 1.5 goals at -175. Yes, I know that's a lot of juice. But I think this is a no-brainer. I think they definitely get more than 2 goals. So I'm taking that. Then we've got the NBA coming back tonight. Thank God. We're not all baseball today. So, guys, they've had 2 days off. Is that right? I think they've had 2 days off. And if Milwaukee now, they got to go home. They got to practice, you know, in their home place. If they didn't make adjustments, they didn't change things up, they didn't figure out how to contain Chris Paul and try to semi-stop Devin Booker, they're in a world of hurt again. I couldn't believe last game I had griped and complained and said they have to make defensive adjustments. They did somewhat. It just wasn't good enough. They didn't make big enough changes. They didn't switch who their men were guarding on the Suns. I was really shocked about that. Guys, the Suns lead 2-0. I think they're 3-0 after tonight. I really do. I'm taking Phoenix. +4 is what I got. They're saying that the Bucks are heavily favored. There are all kinds of commentators and analysis that they are going to pull off the win that they should have had in the last 2 games, and they will make a run. I don't think so. Like I said, I'm taking Phoenix +4 at -105, and this time I think they stay under. They're at the Bucks' home. If Milwaukee does make the adjustments that they need, I don't think as many points are scored. I'm going under 222 at -110. Let's go on to baseball. Baseball today starts off 105. The Chicago White Sox at Baltimore. Guys, you know how I feel. Love Camden Yards. Do not like Baltimore. And so we are taking the White Sox. We're going to take them on the run line. -1.5 runs. And it's going to be for -115. We're staying under the 10.5 due to some weather and wind that it looks like they're supposed to have when I checked the weather this morning. So it's under 10.5, -110. At 110, we have 4 different games. And the first one we're going to start off with is Toronto at Tampa Bay. I'm going to take Tampa Bay just on the money line. I just need them to win at +105. And then I think, same thing as yesterday, both teams have figured out how to hit the ball at Tropicana Field, and I think they go over 8.5 runs at -115. Second game up for 110 is Atlanta at Miami. I have gave up trying to win money on Miami for this series. We're going to take Atlanta, money line, even money, over 7 at -110. Third game, 110 is Kansas City at Cleveland. Guys, we're going with Cleveland on the money line, minus 125. Couldn't find any over and under numbers yet on this. And I'm not even sure where to put a guess. I want to guess that it's probably going to be around 8, 8.5 or 9. But I don't know. The last game at 110 is Philadelphia visiting Fenway Park up in Boston. Guys, I've been on the Boston bandwagon now, what, a week and a half? I'm staying on it today to start off a new week with Boston winning just on the money line at minus 120. And then I need them to stay under 10. I think that won't be that hard to do with the wind. And I got under 10 at minus 110. Then we're going to Detroit at Minnesota. I have been high on Minnesota and really believing that they could handle Detroit. I don't know that I necessarily believe that much anymore. I'm taking Detroit on the reverse run line, so they're getting points. +1.5 points at minus 105. Minnesota not only has to beat them, but has to beat them by 2 or more. And I think they stay under 9 at minus 115. Then we've got Cincinnati at Milwaukee. I'm sticking with Milwaukee. I feel like they're the better team than the Cincinnati Reds. So we're going to take Milwaukee on the money line at minus 150. And we're going to go over 7 runs at minus 120. 210, this series has been getting on my nerves. The Yankees going to Houston. Houston has been home now. I think this will be their third series that they've been home. May only be their second. But if they haven't figured out how to hit in their own ballpark by now, they got issues. The Yankees are bouncing around. They don't know which end's up. So I'm taking Houston on the money line, minus 145. I can't trust Houston to beat them by 2. I can't take them on the run line. I would have loved to. There's plus money in that. But I don't think Houston can do that. So I have to take them on the money line with the juice. I think they go over 8.5, and that's minus 120. At 220, we've got St. Louis at the Chicago Cubs. This series has been nuts. We're going to go with St. Louis on the money line at minus 108, though. And we're going to go over the 5.5 for minus 110. 235, we've got Oakland at Texas. I've said it now for 3 or 4 days straight. I don't know what's wrong with Oakland. They don't look good. I'm taking Texas money line plus 125. I think both teams stay under 8.5. They looked tired yesterday at minus 110. 405, you guys know where I'm going with the Washington Nationals visiting San Francisco. You know I'm on the bandwagon. I'm staying on the bandwagon. So let's go San Francisco on the run line, -1.5 runs. And we got that for minus 110. And I think both teams stay under 8 due to the wind. But also, I get the feeling in this series, neither team cares. And so we're going to stay under 8 at minus 110. Now we've got two games at 410. It's going to be Colorado at San Diego. I'm taking San Diego on the run line at -1.5 runs at +105. Guys, I don't think Colorado's pitching can handle San Diego, but I also have had really good luck at, I think 73% is what the computer said. I would have to look it up again. But I think I'm winning like 73% of the time that I take San Diego on the run line. And so we're going to say they're going to go over 9. I got that for even odds. And then the last game of the day, last game we're betting on at 410 is going to be Arizona at the Dodgers. Yes, I know that sounds familiar because the Dodgers just got back from playing Arizona in Arizona. Schedule makers, you never know what they're thinking. But this is going to be the new series, and we're going to see Arizona at the Dodgers, 410. I'm taking the Dodgers on the run line at minus 110. They've got to beat Arizona by two or more. And I think both teams come together and do the over 9 at minus 105. So there are all your picks from NASCAR to you still got golf going on, and then you've got Euro 2020, all the baseball games, and the NBA finals tonight. So please bet responsibly. Take your time. Make sure that you don't bet any more than what you can afford. You don't want to get in a hole. Guys, if you feel like yourself has a problem gambling, or somebody close to you has said you have a gambling problem, please stop. Call 1-800-GAMBLER and answer their questions honestly. You want to make sure that they have the correct information in order for them to assess you correctly, decide what referrals you need to have made so that you can get the right help, support, and guidance for you and kind of your personality. I wish you guys, as always, the best of luck in all of these sports picks, or if you're just watching today. Some people I know take a day off, and it's usually Sunday. If you're vegging out on the couch, but you're watching something and rooting for them, I hope you win. I wish you guys, like I said, just the best of luck on anything you're watching or you're playing. Guys, I will be talking to you soon, I am sure. And hopefully, I will get to see you somewhere down the road.